take a seat, sit back, and relax, because you are listening to Real Talk Radio, where the talk gets real. Welcome to
Big Brother Canada Season 9,
Week 2 Recap.
Welcome, everybody, to Real Talk Radio. This is your boy, Justin JLB, and it is Big Brother time once again. Week 2, technically, has finished, and what a week it was. So I am going to talk to you about it, but of course, I am not alone. I am with another fellow BB fanatic, Cece.
Hey, everybody. Another crazy week. I can't believe how much happened this week, so let's get into it.
A lot happened. Yeah. So let's do it. So I guess we'll just start with who won HOH, because that's always a good time. Yeah, so Austin wins the head of household, ladies and gentlemen. I guess we should maybe talk about how the competition is a little bit, at least. Do you want to maybe explain it? It's kind of like...
Well, it's an endurance-focused competition, so there's the archery bows, and they have the metal balls that they have to balance on these pivoting bows, and they have to add a ball whenever the sound goes off, and if the balls go in opposite directions, you're basically hooped, so you got to try to keep them all centered and focused.
Yeah, so very, very focused, and basically, Austin and LaToya were the last two. And so, of course, if Austin wins, this means Team Destiny wins once again. The takeaway I would gather from this is how fast the Team Defender's team had lost. Like, I think LaToya even made a comment about it. Just people were dropping like flies on the Defender team. I think there was three left before a Destiny person left. Dropped out. So
yeah, LaToya was last woman standing for her team for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah, they definitely. It's kind of disappointing that the team seems to not be able to support in a way that Destiny did, and I don't know if that's really fair on the team captains to say it's their fault necessarily, but it definitely is surprising considering that the teams looked well matched from the beginning, mm-hmm. but. Both HOH competitions, they were kind of blown out.
Kind of blown out, that's it. And we got to see Kiefer being a little whiny from the start of the episode.
And chirpy. He got chirpy in the HOH competition.
Very chirpy. And this made me realize, you know, we're finally going to start seeing people's personalities. You know, from mm-hmm. when we were talking last week, there was only so much we can go on. And now we're going to get a full week of how people are. And honestly, throughout the week, it made it clear to me that Kiefer has somewhat low self-esteem and is a bit whiny, which really annoyed me throughout the week. But yeah, we'll definitely get there.
Yeah, no, I see that take on him a little bit, and yeah, I think there's a little bit of lacks a little bit of big picture from the social side. Like, he seems to be okay in the one-on-ones, but he's not really solution-based or problem-solving. So he seems to just take the bad and then doesn't really do anything with it, which is why I think you get that feeling of whiny. He just, like, states the obvious predicament and it's like, don't know what we're gonna do.
Yeah, and you know, and I get some people who are hard on themselves if they feel like, so basically, you know, Austin gets HOH, we see her room, it's nice and blue, we hear Victoria, she wants to get Team Destiny tatted on her chest, by all means, Victoria, you gotta go do it now once you're out of that house, because that would be hilarious.
So extra.
Like, she's just out there, though. She's out there. And, yeah. You know, we also find out her story. I don't know if it's on this episode or the next episode, but we find out her story, too, that she was in a broken home. Not a broken home, but she was
She was in the foster system.
And I think it was her and Ty that were having that conversation. Was that last week? Yeah. That was this week. No?
No, I think it was this week. So much happened. I'm pretty sure it was this week. Yeah, because we saw a lot throughout the week of just kind of little moments to get to know the house guests. And definitely her story was impactful, you know, going from house to house. And
just inspiring, considering how she is. You know what I mean? She's very vibrant, very out there, very outgoing, very wanting to just... know from what we see throughout the week, just talking with everybody and, you know, showing that inspirational positive side that, hey, even, you know, because of my hardship and so on, look, there's still a positive outcome to take from it. And this made me just love Victoria so much more.
Yeah, totally, totally. She's capturing the hearts of Canada. I guarantee.
For sure. I was just like, wow, that you're an angel. I don't see anything wrong with you at this point. Like, keep doing you. You're still my favorite just because of that. Wendy's is back. So that's always fun.
Yes.
The reason why I mentioned that is because I was actually shocked that I was shocked, but then I realized, oh, wait, COVID times, there wasn't a person there.
Yes.
It was just I was like, why isn't there? I'm like, oh, COVID. I'm like, yep, all right, that makes sense. But Austin got to see a video of her family and all that lovey-dovey stuff. Mm-hmm. We're getting into the regularities of the Big Brother house now. I guess to kind of start it off, we see obviously people throwing just names out there. We see Kyle talk about Austin, seeing Austin as a threat.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting conversation between Rohan and Kyle, specifically regarding some of the power women in the house and how they're like, I don't know what they're thinking. I can't read them. And I think it being, unfortunately, a little bit telling about the relationships that Kyle is or rather isn't building because they lots of stone face. Kind of coming from the women there, right? So I thought that was an interesting insight and kind of the experience of if you're not close, there seems to be a lot of poker face, which I think is interesting. Interesting in a good way.
No, exactly. And it does seem to be it seems as though like almost everybody's kind of like that, right? I guess aside from Kiefer or Josh, who are kind of just straight up, but everyone else, even Victoria, even though she's all happily and bubbly and so on, the stuff that we see her with the HOH room, she's like, yeah, I'm just going to drop this one now. You know what I mean? Like, I could probably still go on, but she was faking how she was struggling on holding on to the thing. So definitely a lot of poker faces going on, and that's what you need in Big Brother, right? It's way too early to be showing your cards and letting people in and, a lot of alliances were already formed too already. So with that, of course, everyone starts talking to Austin now. You know, Austin's getting the dig on, all right, who do you guys think? What's going on? We first see Bray, Austin, and Latoya talk. She says she's tight with the guys. So everything's good there.
Yeah, and we get a sense that Austin is going to stay true to the no nominating Latoya, because in that HOH they were both trying to get the other person to give up and they kind of said, you know, you're good with me. So in this conversation, it seems that Austin is really open to that, to just keeping that kind of not rocking the boat, wants to kind of keep that safe, doesn't want to. Pissed Latoya off.
Yeah, and I think there was a scenario where she kinda has her in her sights, Latoya. Like, I don't think she's a fan of her necessarily, but again, she just didn't want to rock the boat. Again, too early. So everyone's kind of playing it safe, but it's way too early in the game to really be, you know, going cray-cray over that. And we had a nice little BB announcement where the teams were gathered in a room as well. One team was in another room and one team was in another. And they had to pick either steal or share. Very for creative food. Game. For food, yeah. Steal or share for food. So if you did, if both selected steal, they both would go on slop. If one selected share and one selected steal, it would be PB and J and milk for the rest of the week, which is super cool. They're bringing back PB&J.
I love that, yes.
That's a good way to bring in the old old ways of Big Brother. And if they did, if they basically did share, what was it? Share, yeah, no, sorry, it was share. They would get PB&J for the week. But if one did share and one did steal, the people that chose steal would get food for the week, and the people that chose share would get slop for the week.
Yeah.
So interesting way to get people going, see who's shady or not, what the teams are going to do. And it was LaToya, which made sense for team defenders to go talk to the other team to negotiate. And I think it was Ty?
Yep.
It was Ty, right? Ty to go and negotiate as well. Ultimately, of course, lovely editing. They're showing us like one might pick the other one, but they both ultimately pick share. And hey, it's PB&J week for everybody. So that was a little fun game. You know, that was cool.
But you're right. Like those moments, even if it's just even in the decision of do we share or do we steal in the teams, you really see how people's mind works. Like that's a gold mine of understanding. Can you work with somebody? Am I going to strategize with someone? Do I need to watch that person because they're willing to present one thing and go the other way, right? Because it wasn't until, I mean, editing, of course, but the way it was presented was that it wasn't until after LaToya's negotiation that Team Destiny was like, you know what, this would be the smarter move. We don't want to, you know, burn our reputations over some food.
Right.
So yeah, it was interesting. It's an interesting game and an opportunity for these players to kind of see how everybody's mind works. So I like it this early in the game.
And and the fact that everybody really kind of respects LaToya though too. Now, I'm wondering if she told them that she was a cop or not. Or
she did not.
No.
So I went and watched. I think there was a deleted scene, the introductions, and she didn't. So she did go with the fashionista. She says it in her bio that she was going to present herself as like fashionista, bathing suit designer, which she did.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so they are not aware that she is a police officer.
Well, I mean, she must have a strong, her obviously stance is still pretty strong because people do seem to be respecting her and all that. And hey, she's killing it in the comps, whether she's not winning them, but she's certainly one of the last ones to always usually drop. So
that's
great there. So we talked about the Wendy's that's there. There was a little story about Victoria again was speaking about her foster mom who actually always would like to go to Wendy's with her. So that was still leading to the whole the foster home story. So that was a nice little connection to Wendy's. And, you know, if anyone's getting action in this house, I guess, you know, it could be a three-way tie. Huh. I didn't even mean to do that pun, but it worked. Because all the house is kind of flirting with Jed. But then we also get to see the little showmance between Beth and Ty.
Yeah, Beth and Ty are starting to get pretty cozy. Beth is definitely working the flirt game for sure. It's become pretty clear that it was like Jed or Ty. She's flirting with both of them. I think there was like a little thing with maybe Kyle, I think, as well, where she was flirting a bit. But narrowed her sights a little bit on Ty.
Narrowed her sights on Ty. But we do see technically later on that she does end up kissing Jed. It was Jed, right? She ends up kissing Jed in the hot tub.
Oh, it was kind of cringy. I just like, Jed's just like, I'm just going to shoot my shot. I'm like, we're 2 weeks into a strategy game. You don't just shoot your shot in front of the entire house.
And
but
you
whatever.
Shoot your shot with the never have I ever? Like,
yeah. What?
Come on. And that worked? I was like, come on, Beth. Why did that work on you? What is it?
I don't know what she was. I don't know. It's a cringe moment for me. I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean,
and they're apparently not even having alcohol. I don't think it's like legit alcohol. So you can't even blame it on the alcohol here. Nope. You know, Beth's just having fun, I guess. You know, that's it.
No judgment, but like no. Game wise, I wouldn't. The game wise, I'm like, is that really worth it? Not really.
Especially not in front of all of us. You want to go flirt with other people to get your game going? Do it in like a personal thing? Cool. But don't let it be known. You know, you might get a certain reputation when you're in the house that way or whatever. It's just not a good look in general, but also not a good look for your game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So in terms of gameplay, it's horrible. But, you know, Beth will do Beth and she's done did it. So. Beth just flirting for now, and we'll see if it's all a game ploy or if she's just, you know, having a little fun. So we'll see.
That is acceptable, but it won't win her the game.
Right. It definitely, well, it won't be the game changer that she needs to make to ultimately be the final two. That's for sure.
No.
On to some more serious stuff. We see Kiefer talking to Austin. Kiefer seems kind of nervous as he talks. It's like he's kind of scared that he's the one that's going to be put up. He tries to bring up Ro a little bit and mentions that Ro is like I think he even said the words fierce competitor, and he's pretty strong. Josh and Ro were then mentioned to kind of be put up against each other. He's just like, but I don't want to be in the block. He clearly doesn't know how to talk to HOHs. Clearly his first time doing negotiations. But, you know, hopefully he learns, because that was some weak skills, because it certainly didn't work for him.
It did not. No. Nope.
Austin goes and does it. She nominates Josh and Kiefer. Josh, she basically gives the reasoning because he's been throwing everyone's name from last week. And Kiefer, because he kept speaking in the HOH competition, hence where I thought he was being a little whiny. And he hasn't basically talked to Austin since she got to HOH. So those are good reasons. I would definitely... Sounds maybe a bit petty, but also a bit valid. So,
yeah. Oh, it's totally valid. For the second week, it's like the only reason you've talked to me is today on nomination day because I'm HOH. We haven't had like a game conversation prior to now. That's absolutely a valid nomination reason for week two. Absolutely. And Josh, I mean, obviously, I think we saw the meltdown from last week and some of that continuing into that first kind of few days of stuff up until the nomination, or first episode up until the nomination. And yeah, no surprise that Josh was a nomination. It's too easy at this point.
And we really get to see this this crazy delusional side of him. Like, when we really got to see, he started on the next episode, he started like talking out loud, and he was just all like delusional about things, like, oh, I'm gonna put up Austin next week, and just saying coming up with these random ideas. Well, you know, just one was just kind of legit talk of I'm gonna win the POV and so on and whatever, but then like just he was just out there, and I'm like, bro, maybe this is why you're kind of not on anyone's team here. You know, you're kind of a bit cuckoo.
I mean, I don't think I would say that. But I think, I mean, him talking to himself in the rooms, like, I think even at one point he says, like, I would love to have somebody to talk some scenarios out with, but I'm alone. So he just, you know, talks to the cameras and talks to himself. And I think that's, I mean, it's part of it. I think he pivoted, right? He's changing his game. He's figuring things out. How do you be a lone wolf? How do you strategize? I've got myself into this pickle. Now I'm on the block again, and I've got, if I want to play this game, I've got to figure this out. And he really has to figure it out on his own. And we see people just like straight up placating him and like just trying to exit conversations. So
right.
Yeah, he's definitely putting off the vibes of like a little out there. Like Victoria's out there in like the fun kooky way, and then he's out there in a way that just like nobody's connecting with him. And I don't know if he's adopted it in a way, but it definitely shows that he's not adaptable. He wasn't able to like adjust some of his behaviors to try to find inroads, because the game's not set yet. Like, you don't have to play a lone wolf forever.
Right, but I think he's like settled into it. Maybe he kind of realized he messed up last week, and now just no one kind of trusts him. Right, the cuckoo comment was just more like he's losing it in there, though. It's almost as if like, you know, it's just how people maybe are now with COVID, especially those who maybe live alone or something. You know, they're staying in their house, they get cooped up, they're going perhaps a little crazy. You know, he's in a house with 13 other people, but he's still, I don't know, just he's a little out there, I feel. Like,
he is. There's no denying that. There's no denying that.
Like, a bit much. Maybe, you know, that's who he is, and, you know, all to him. But, like, you got to tone it down a bit, bud, because if, you know, it's too early in the game to dish out that these delusions like that, you know? Like, when he was talking to Kyle, I don't think that happened just yet. But, like you were mentioning, just Kyle was like, I believe it was Kyle. Yeah, he's like, say whatever you want, man. Like, you know, whatever. Yeah, sure, I'll just agree with you. But he just wanted to jet so far out of that conversation as quickly as he could.
I don't remember Kyle, but I remember with Kiefer in the room after the nomination ceremony, and he's trying to like connect with Kiefer as being noms, and like, you know, can we get out of this? Can we take care of each other? Like, trying to build an alliance with the other nominee in week two. And Kiefer was just like accepting the information. Yeah, you know, just basically saying yes, like you do in Big Brother, right? You never say no. Right. You always say yes. And so then he's just like putting his shoes on, and he's like, yep, yep. And just like walking out the door.
Yeah. So with that, we do get an alliance being officially named. We got, ladies and gentlemen, the Sunsetters, which is a cross-team alliance between LaToya, Ty, Beth, Kiefer, Tina, and Judson. We find out that this was done, I think, like on day three or something. This was done day four. Yeah. This was really close right in the beginning. And yeah, so that's the thing I think they were kind of showing us last week, but they didn't show it full front yet, but they really dished it out here. And yeah, that's genius with having a cross-team alliance. I almost feel like everybody realizes that people are going to be teaming up from cross-teams. I felt like there was a lot of comments with that. I think Austin had mentioned something, and like it was almost a known thing that people were going to do it, I guess, which is kind of logical though. So I don't.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we talked about it last week too, about how, you know, teams are not going to be forever. It's important to have, you know, building those relationships regardless of which team you're on. Right. Like, this isn't Survivor. This isn't, you know, you're on separate islands and need to find food and that tribe mentality. Right. This is Big Brother, and you're living in basic luxury, so there's no reason to not create those relationships. And there wasn't really any benefit from what I saw to stay true to your team, so I think that's part of it too.
That's it. Which would have been kind of cool maybe for Big Brother to do, but you know, that's it. They kind of,
well, yeah, in order to do that though, you have to have some sort of, I mean, yeah, the your whole team is safe if one of you win HOH. It's like, okay, like that's a big deal. You know, nomination options for Austin, which came up repeatedly this week. You know, she's kind of stuck. If she wants to keep these relationships that she's built cross team, she doesn't really have a lot of options, which is part of the reason it was basically we had three options, right? Josh, Kiefer, and Rohan. And so, but aside from that, there really isn't any benefit.
That's it. No, that's what I mean. I mean, Big Brother like did that, but they should have at least did a little something. You know, if you're more loyal I don't know. I guess they really couldn't do anything else. That was their kind of thing. Like, hey, here's a benefit for staying all together. But I mean, we're going to find out anyways. At the end of this, they end up killing the teams thing. So I guess that's what they kind of figured as well. You know, we're going to end the teams. This doesn't matter. Everyone knows that they're going to... They maybe should have kept it a little bit longer, though, because it would have been interesting to see how these cross-team alliances would have worked out, sort of deal. You know,
I think so. Like, I'm surprised they killed it after week two. Usually the first twist at Big Brother lasts 3 or 4 weeks. So I was expecting one more HOH competition, at least being in those teams. So a bit surprised that it went solo after week two. But like we just said, right, there wasn't really a lot impacting the game. The teams weren't really making much of a difference.
That's it. So, yeah. So with that, we pretty much, what else really happens? Well, we find out about the ball pen. So there's a ball pen now where the have-nots, I believe, where the have-nots sleep. I'm almost certain that that has something to do with finding some sort of reward.
Oh, definitely.
For sure. Those down arrows just write to me right away. I'm like, guys, there's something like below or something. You have to find it. Like,
well,
come on.
We,
like maybe,
yeah,
TV, but I don't know.
And we had the TikTok videos of the legendary house guests. So
I didn't know any of these people. I clearly didn't watch season 7, and I think one was from season 6. So I was like, oh, okay, the Pretty Boys Alliance. Sure, I don't know who you are. So please enlighten
bad,
me.
You bad fan. Yeah, so Anthony won. Tony was his right-hand man. He ended up getting cut in final three because Anthony was quite correct. Had Adam gone to final two, he wouldn't have won. But then we've got Sarah who won and Mitch who did not win. But he definitely was kind of a flavor that stuck around. So these are some legends.
That was the dude who has his smiling thing and he puts his hand on his chin.
That's the pretty boy sign, which is why with the sunsetters during our vote, which we'll get to in a second, we see them put their hands together and that's the sunsetters. So it's like this code effect of being like, this is actually where my true alliance is. It's like telling the viewers, you know, this is my true alliance, regardless of what else you write. This is where the real loyalty lies.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it must have been a very impactful. Victoria was instantly crying when, so.
It was very emotional, very inspirational. It's, it might even be worth a watch. But
no, fair enough.
Anyways, Adam says in his TikTok that, you know, I'd be looking for things in that house. There's secrets everywhere, right? And I'm like, okay, we just got a new room. We get these legends with some sage BB advice. And why are you guys not immediately scavenger hunting?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing Victoria found was her slipper.
her flip-flop.
Her flip-flop, but beside that, you know, nothing else was found in there. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why either Big Brother hasn't shown us yet or just no one's looking. But I would imagine after they heard that, everyone would have went crazy. And
well, they didn't, which I think, or they didn't show it. But we did get this, like, alarm clock that moves. It was a deleted thing, I think. So they're finding things. There's weird things in this house. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll play a role. I think throughout the season, there's going to be stuff in the house more so than I think we've seen in the past.
Fair. So we'll certainly see there. Let's get to the POV, I guess. I don't think there's anything before that.
No, not at all.
So Austin won't be playing, which was a nice little different aspect to the POV, but she picked Victoria in the little random picks. Kiefer picks Tara and Josh is house guest choice. Josh picks Tina because he believes that he can beat Tina because he knows no one else is fighting.
Mm-hmm. Another reference to OG Big Brother, where the HOH does not play in veto, right. Which I love. I love this. I think it's great. It prevents the double wins and just people just rolling power all the way through. And yeah, who ended up winning that? Kiefer.
Surprisingly, yeah, Kiefer.
Yeah.
So It basically was a stack as many apples on your wheelbarrow. And yeah, Kiefer just... Josh did like a really weird thing where he wasn't playing for like 20 minutes and he was stacking. Like, hey, let me just do my stacking now so that I can just put it on. Like, I get it. It's a different technique. But like, bro, you also can't wait for the last minute. Like, what if you drop one? You know?
Well, like, yeah. So I'm mixed on this because it was a good strategy, poorly executed. So what he was doing is trying to stack his apples in a way that they're really solid and he didn't need to worry about them rolling off, because you can see that as everybody's going back and forth in this wheelbarrow trying to stack their apples, they're just kind of like stacking them on and they're rolling off. So he's being very selective with his fruit, but he's not stacking them onto the wheelbarrow. He's stacking them onto the floor beside the wheelbarrow. So had he done the same process on the wheelbarrow, we might have seen a different result. And then he ended up going back in like the last minute.
That's it.
And made it.
He made it, but he didn't win it. I don't know how many Kiefer had. I think 25 or something. Yeah. Well, it would have been 26, but Kiefer lost one. Because he was going to go back. Like, he was like, do I wait? No, and he was waiting there for a while, too. He was waiting. Let me wait. He's like, okay, I'm going to go back. And then he loses two, I think, one or two. And then he's like, yeah, you know what? I'll stay. Let me tap in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, that's it. And I agree, though. It didn't make sense to me why he just didn't put it on the wheelbarrow. And then even then, that doesn't make sense. Because, bro, it's going to move. Regardless of how well you... He went slow. I give you that. Okay, he went slow.
But did you also see, because Jed commented from the sideline saying the wheelbarrow's crooked and they're not even moving. So he was doing something right.
Oh, okay.
Because that's why he got worried. Josh's
wheelbarrow was crooked?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I did not catch that.
So he was doing something right with the strategy. Wasted a bunch of time at the beginning. But I think that's why the tension got really high, because suddenly they saw, like, he's not losing apples as he's going across. His first time attempting to cross, and he's not losing apples.
Right. Okay, so maybe that was the whole method behind it.
Yeah, and then I think he had some fall, and he went back and did it again, but repeated the process with success, just not enough.
Right. Oh, there you go. Kiefer with his first power of veto. And obviously, Kiefer is going to take himself off. And Austin, I'm sick and tired of everyone using the chess reference. Well, just like in the game of chess, everybody needs a pawn. So, Ro, you're going up there, which basically was throughout the entire talk that Ro is always going to be kind of safe. Especially with Josh, everyone likes Ro and everybody hates Josh. So it's a certainty that Josh will go home. But I'm just sick of that chess analogy. It's feel like it's been used every Big Brother season.
Well, it is. It is used every Big Brother season. We need some sort of strategy game to replace it.
For sure.
But, or just know. Like, can we not make it so cliche? Like, can you say something a little bit original?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But yeah, Ro's going up. It was an interesting conversation that led to that nomination, though, between him and Austin.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I just feel like he kind of came in trying to be like, almost pretending that he didn't know he was the only option, and was just trying to kind of start some sort of game, some sort of transaction, get some information, try to... strategically manage his way into not being nominated. But again, poor execution, very similar to what we saw with Kiefer pre-nomination. Just like you didn't really like pull the trigger. You didn't actually give her anything to work with to go a different direction at all.
Was he the one that mentioned Jed though? Or am I thinking of another conversation?
Josh mentioned Jed. And no, they were talking and she mentioned Jed. And I was like, why did you not jump on that? Like, had I been in that room? Yeah, no, you jump on the other name. And he didn't, which is why I think that execution was kind of poor.
Okay, yeah, that's it. guess I just completely forgot about that because I have no great notes on that because I clearly, you know, Ro didn't do his job.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And yeah, he ended up getting nominated. So yeah,
that's it. But with the still inclination that Josh is to go home and Ro is still kind of safe. Because I feel like we don't really get much of Ro. We get a little bit, but we don't get enough of Ro like we are, let's say, of Josh. But again, Josh is up on the block. So,
and he's a disaster.
And he's a disaster.
Which makes good TV.
Disaster, which, yeah, that's granted. For sure. I would not want to hang out with him at a bar, but I will watch him on Big Brother.
Yes.
So with that, so Ro is up there. What else happens? So yes, so this is where we kind of get to the serious conversation of Josh still kind of trying to save his life. He speaks with Jetson at first, and is just trying to, like, he's trying to stir the pot here a bit, and the conversation goes away where he's trying to say, like, yo, your name has been put out there. You know, he's like, I haven't heard my name been put out there aside from anyone but you, kind of thing, you know? So Jed was kind of defending himself, like, bro, I know your lies. Like, you could tell that he sensed his paranoia and he was just trying to stir the pot. And then basically I don't know if Josh tells... Yes, so I believe, so this is then when the house meeting occurs.
Yes, so Josh kind of tries to plant some seeds, a little bit of chaos, and he puts in Jed's head, like, your name is being put out there, like, you're not sitting pretty. This is a real legitimate threat to you, which, of course, coming from Josh, doesn't sound legitimate at all. Right. And so Jed pulls a house meeting. Calls everybody out and says, okay, so I'm having a conversation with Josh. He's saying that my name's there. And then he asks a question that no one in Big Brother would ever immediately cop to, except for Tara, which is, if you've directly said my name as potential nomination, please raise your hand. Like, no one in Big Brother who has half a mind is going to do that, except Mama Tara says, yeah, you know, I mentioned you, but it was last week, or I don't know, whatever. She covered up enough where it was, like, not threatening, but, like, no. No one's gonna raise their hands. I don't know what he thought he'd accomplish with that question. Other than what happened, which allowed Josh to basically be repainted again as completely delusional, causing chaos, lies, and scheming. And we see gaslighting 101 from Austin.
And yeah, he has no regard for it. He's doing it in front of everybody. He's trying to put the blame on Austin. Like, oh, you said this name and Austin's
Wait
like,
a second.
No.
Whose side are you on this one? Because Josh is not lying. He's not. And we
but
even have
Josh
a flashback.
Also, no, but Josh instigated what he was telling Austin, though.
Sure.
Right?
But she did, so, yeah, but he came to her. So, we can accept that Josh was in, like, major paranoia, was throwing situations out there and all of this kind of stuff. But Austin did look him and say, yeah, you know, I've noticed that too. Twice. Once in the couch and in the flashback that they showed, which was in another room previously unaired. So twice this conversation happened where he's like, are you seeing this? Are you seeing this happen? And she agrees with him.
Yeah, but... wasn't he also implying that she had thrown out a bunch of names, but in reality, like, wasn't that the whole argument that she was throwing names at Josh and Josh was saying that it was all Austin's doing when in fact Josh carried out the convo and then Austin, yes. So we see Austin agree to certain things, but she wasn't the one, lighting the fire. If you know what I mean, she was I felt like she was more appeasing to, no?
I mean, maybe, but you don't have to be. And this is like, that's a choice that you make. But I think Josh made a really good point. And I think this is going to speak to what happens in the rest of the season, is that LaToya the week before said, yeah, we're all talking about everybody. I can carry that weight. No problem. Because if we're not talking about scenarios, then we're not playing the game. Right.
Yeah,
versus the Austin reaction, which is, no, you're delusional. That conversation never happened. I don't know what you're saying. This is completely, you know, out of realm of possibility, which is not the case. You know, Josh was having these conversations with her. He was, you know, pointing these things out, and placating or not, she was agreeing with him. Like I said before, conversation is currency here. You nod and agree to somebody, you are partaking in that conversation. Right. So these are two different reactions to the same situation.
And I would agree that her arguments were horrible.
Awful.
Like, she maybe has never been in a confrontation before, because I'm like, okay, you're just, like, her defense mechanism wasn't on her. She wasn't, like, she was, like, almost denying, too, at the same time that they've never talked. And it was just kind of like, but Josh, Austin, no. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I have to rewatch it again. But from what they showed us on the episode one, there wasn't a whole lot. And then they showed us that deleted scene, which put it into perspective of what Josh was saying. But it also, I don't know, it's just like, because he was more saying, hey, Austin, this was your idea.
Oh, that's interesting, because that's not what I was hearing from him.
Okay. Maybe I have to. So, what
I was hearing from him is like, yes, I brought it up, but it takes two people to have a conversation. Like, you are not innocent in this conversation, which I think is fair. And she denied that the conversations ever happened.
And that's the issue. The fact that she denied that it ever happened did not make any sense to me.
Exactly.
But crazy how there's a house meeting already on a week. Like,
God, if this continues, like, I'm just having flashbacks to season 8. Like, if we keep having to have house meetings, I'm going to lose my mind.
Season 8's house meetings, though, were definitely needed. I forgot that dude's name, but that dude had a hot temper that he just needed to, like, GTFO of the house. Like, he was a bit too out there. He was a bit crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't get into season 8, but 2 resets in like 3 weeks. Come on.
Yeah. Honestly, that was a kind of a good season. Just, you know, the resets and COVID kind of ruined it, like COVID does everything else. But yeah.
Here we are a year later, still living it.
Yeah. <that's> it. Literally, it's been a year. It was a year on March 10th. So yesterday. So gee golly. Well, Josh makes. Oh, so Josh still actually tries to attempt to save himself, and he's putting a plea. I guess he was kind of surrounded by the Sunsetters at this point. There was a bunch of people. He was there. I think Latoya was there.
Yeah, so he walked in, and Tina and Tara are in the room having a conversation, and he awkwardly asks to pivot the conversation basically to his pitch. And he says, I'm going to only talk to the 6 people, these 6 people. And it was Jed, Ty, Latoya, Tara, Tina, and
Kiefer. It was literally the Sunsetters.
Except Tara's not a Sunsetter. It's Beth.
Oh, true. Okay.
And I thought the same thing. I'm like, how did he pick the alliance? Like, I'd be like, as Tina, I'd have like red flags. So many red flags. Like, oh, we're not secret. Like, if this is who Josh is coming to talk to, right? But so he comes in, and then Latoya kind of opens the door, and he invites her in to kind of hear the pitch,
which she wasn't there for at all. She was like, hey, I'm not saying anything. I promised my vote to Ro. She basically told, hey, you don't even need to pitch to me, Ro. I got you no matter what. Like, she hates Josh. She just wants Josh out of here.
So, well, that's pre POV. That's with Kiefer, where she's having that conversation. But this is just before eviction, and Josh gives the pitch of like, I am a target. As long as, you know, I'm here, I'm going to be nominated. I'm offering you 6, which is, this is a pretty sweet deal. Again, we're reaching a little bit back to OG Big Brother of being like, I'm here if you guys want to take me to be carried, basically, as someone who, if you need to nominate me, I'm basically here to be a piece for you in your game. That was his offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, that's great offer, and everybody liked it.
Everybody liked it. And it's like, it gave them something to think about. It gave them pause, and it's just a matter of, you know, choices and consequences. And I think it was LaToya that brought it up and said, well, if we do this, then we are aligning ourselves against Austin.
Right.
And really, that's the decision that he left with that pitch was like, would you be willing to basically draw a line in the sand against Austin?
And I'm almost kind of happy that that maybe didn't happen, because then we might have had another Big Brother 22 go on so soon.
True.
Or, well, then again, at least it would be two alliances, technically, and it would have been an even match. It would have been technically 6-6, which technically still would have been like how it was with the
teams. So, yeah, it's just self-selected teams.
That's it. Very compelling. And look, it was his last-ditch effort. You know, kudos to Josh for trying to, you know, do what he could. But ultimately, it didn't work because, ladies and gentlemen, we have our clean sweep of the season. Josh goes home. Everybody votes Josh out. Josh, ladies and gentlemen, is evicted from the Big Brother house and says bye to no one, like the loner, I guess, that he is. Which I found very sad. I'm like, dude, just hug everybody. Like, I get it. Everyone voted you out. Like,
I don't know. Given the relationships that he did not have in the house, the unanimous vote, I think he stood up and no one came to hug him initially. So oh. Yeah, then you don't. Like, I'm not gonna placate that. So I'm just gonna walk out.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a sad exit a little. Mm-hmm. And whoever yelled, you know, we love you, Josh, I literally rolled my eyes. Like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you definitely don't. You know, yeah. That's just you feeling bad and guilty about isolating the guy for like two.
Yeah.
And then so Josh starts talking to Julie about a meltdown that he had like on day three. Really? What did I said, Julie? I'm so sorry.
Sorry. Okay. I did it in BB22, so it's fine.
Fair enough. You're
forgiven.
Talks to Arissa about how he had like kind of like a meltdown on day three or something. I don't know if they technically showed that meltdown. I guess not.
Don't think so. It depends on what he was referring to. We definitely saw the paranoia. I think that's what was referenced when we did like the questions. That was really what the question was alluding to, I think, was his total breakdown, apparently, that we did not win.
Wow. Yeah. I think he doesn't really mention much else. I feel like he kind of said that he... Yeah, I don't know. I don't really recall what kind of went on.
Well, he knew that there was kind of a bigger group that was working together, but he didn't have all the right players. So he knew something was up, but didn't quite have the right names. So he was definitely observing things that were legitimate in the house, for sure. But then I think Beth in the goodbye messages kind of explains the sunset, which is where he's like, okay, that's who it is. But was very surprised, I think, with the Tina connection in there.
Right.
And then Tara has a lovely heartfelt goodbye message for him as well. So a little bit of love, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, what else are you going to do? But yeah, he gets his little bit of love, I guess, to end it. But also, what does end up happening is we find out that, of course, there's no teams now. Everyone's playing on their own, like we mentioned. And then we get it was a pick players competition to end it.
Yeah, we don't have the winner yet officially, unless you're a spoiler watcher. So I have not watched yet, but you can bet as soon as we're done recording, I am going to go watch
found out while looking. I'm not going to spoil anything because I hate spoilers. But yeah, so it's basically, I think it was like a spot the difference or something like that.
Yeah, we've got like these dream scenes, and then you have to figure out there's just questions about these brief dream sequences of current house guests. And again, I love this competition so early in the game. Often we see this closer to jury time. when lines are drawn but not open yet. So everybody kind of knows who they're working with, but we don't really have full out wars yet. Usually that's when we see this competition in Big Brother. Seeing it so early is awesome, and if Sunset is not smart, they will out themselves in this competition.
That's what I'm interested to see. I just wish there were more alliances. I think there is more though, right? Aside from Sunset, is there that Pretty Boy Alliance 2.0 that they were talking about?
I don't think so. Boy 2.0. So Pretty Boys is pretty legendary. Like day two, they got together. Then they had their own side alliances. They didn't really interact a lot with each other for the first little while. I think that if that kind of thing was coming, Big Brother producers likely would have capitalized on it a bit. I think Josh, honestly, the drama around Julie and LaToya and Josh, and now Josh and Austin and Jed, I think that there's too much kind of overshadowing that. I think we can look forward to seeing some of the smaller groups that have formed or connections that have formed over the next week or so. We should be seeing more of that. I really am looking to Tara made a reference to working relationships, which is something that we see in other BB seasons a little bit, where there's nothing really official, but these are kind of the forming points of alliances and moving pieces. So we'll see what happens. But I think there's some that are happening, and we'll see it more now that the Josh drama is out.
Yeah, what's going to be our form of entertainment now aside from the Josh drama?
So I think Josh called it. It's going to be a bloodbath. We're going to start seeing those little factions, and there's going to be some pitting. People are going to start pitting themselves against the other. And the next 2 weeks, I think, are going to be really formative to what we're going to see in the rest of the season.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, because they're going to have to step it up. They can't play the scapegoat theory anymore. I would think Kiefer would fall in that category, but Kiefer has protection now, right? So if he didn't, he's smart for already forming an alliance, a big enough alliance to help him out. Because, of course, usually the ones that are just isolated and alone get picked off.
I mean, that's assuming that LaToya can handle her, can handle him, and because I can see Kiefer and LaToya not getting along very much. We see LaToya and Tina also kind of saying, like, I don't want to be dictated to, right? POV. So we'll see if Sunset can hold on. Then we've got the little love triangle that's part of Sunset, so we'll see.
But the one doing the dictating wasn't LaToya, was it?
No, it was Kiefer.
Oh, to switch the votes, right? What if we went this route? Yeah. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to really start really disliking Kiefer going forward. I don't know. I feel he's very childish. I don't like his childish acting, whether he's either super sobby on himself that he's gonna lose or that he's gonna get picked, and then to when he wins, he gets super annoying cocky about it. And it's just kind of like, bro, you're kind of being the worst of both worlds here. Like, don't be too much of a sulk and don't be so braggadocious, you know what I mean? You gotta have a certain level to you. And it's just really weird. Like, I feel like he's the type of guy that would just throw you under the bus when given any kind of chance just to save himself. And I guess a lot of people might be like that, but he would do it no problem. You know, some might have a sense of loyalty, but the minute he gets pushed into a wall, forget about loyalty. Like, you know, he talks about he's doing it for his tribe and so on and so forth. So I'm thinking he might still have that loyaltiness in him, though, you know? So I'm still thinking, based on his roots, he might still have something there, and I hope he certainly does. But as of right now, he seems like he's definitely not someone I would want on my team. And like you mentioned, then Tina and LaToya, I feel like LaToya won't be able to handle that for too long. She says what's on her mind right away. So, you know, she's definitely She's still the best. I don't know, man. It's between Victoria and LaToya. I think of boss status, I would give it to LaToya, though. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. And we have like this. Yeah, there's some deleted scenes, guys. If you haven't checked them out, they just don't make final cut for the show. They're about a minute long each. They give us some nice insight into the players. So go check them out on the website. But yeah, so we see some times that where, you know, LaToya is, you know, she's becoming very, very dominant. She's got to be careful though, to not go too serious and too solo. She's got to find some collaboration and some give a little to be able to see long term in this game. Kyle, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, who are you?
Well,
waste of bloody space.
Well, we still don't know. And I hope they shed some light on him at least a little bit more. Do we see at least a little bit of more telling stuff with him?
No.
Not even.
No.
Jeez. Okay. Because him, I'm completely clueless on. And I'm guessing everybody else is. But yeah.
So far, I've just decided that he is also completely clueless. So prove me wrong.
Oh. Well, Kyle.
Well,
they've
no,
probably got nothing to do. If they got no footage to show, then
that's fair. It's fine.
Jesus. So, Kyle, step your game up. You know, you got to show us something more than a thing with you and Josh, because that didn't show any of your personality aside from you being just like the rest of the house who was annoyed with him. So,
yeah, I mean, he's working with Rohan and they're both laying pretty low. I think Ro has the possibility to go further in this game. I have yet to see that kind of spark from Kyle, so we'll see. But yeah, Victoria, I think she's doing that self-regulating thing that we were worried about. You know, she goes and bees goofy by herself. It's a little bit much. So I think she's positioning herself very well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the two of them, I'm pretty impressed by them. We'll see how Tina and Tara do as the older women in the house.
Yep.
So we'll see.
We'll certainly see indeed. So any predictions on who the HOH is going to be?
No.
No?
It's not HOH. I think I know who I'd like to see, but you already have spoilers. So
I have spoilers, but I don't remember technically. I saw it.
Tom forgot.
No, why? And then I think of anything else, Justin. Think of anything else. Go. So I forgot. So yay, my method worked. I honestly want to see LaToya as boss, but I don't know if LaToya wants that.
Not yet. I want to get LaToya needs another week, maybe next week for LaToya. I think this week I'd like to see, a little bit of I'd like to see what Rohan would do with it. I'd like to see what Ty maybe would do with the HOH. I think that would be interesting. Give these guys a chance because they sure have not dazzled. The women are definitely taking the show right now. Yeah. So I'd like to see maybe some of the male psyche of what's going on in that house. And I think either one of those two, I'd like to see kind of what they do with it.
Yeah, because all I've been seeing so far is them playing pool and them talking about how LaToya's chill. So aside from that, yeah, I'm down for that. Ro, maybe even Kyle. Hey, you know, we're saying the guy has no personality. What can he do if he's on the top chair? You know?
Yeah.
Get an insight to his family because we know nothing about him. It's only been a week. So I guess fine. Sure. But I know more about everybody else. Again, it'd be a Big Brother thing. With the editing, so much time, you know, so little time and so much footage. So I guess I get that as well. But yeah, so Ro's a good guess. I'm going for Kyle. I think I said LaToya, but I mean, I feel like it's too early though. I completely would agree with that. My fanboyism for LaToya was just kicking in. But yeah, I'm down for a guy to potentially get it. So I'll go with Kyle.
Cool.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. And
we'll certainly see what happens on Monday because that's how they do it. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, which isn't too bad. I kind of like that. You know, there's enough stuff going on with other shows happening, but certainly get my Big Brother fix in a 3-day cycle is pretty awesome. Don't have to wait too long for the other episodes. So I just fill my head with other Big Brother stuff. And yeah, so aside from that, I guess any other final thoughts?
Like I said earlier, the next 2 weeks are really going to shape what's going to happen in the rest of the season. So I'm looking forward to it. I want to see some creativity.
Yeah, definitely want to see some creativity as well. More so on the guy's side. And I want to see someone feel that drama meter. Victoria might be good for that. She's very spunky and out there, but she's too positive. I want another Josh, but less delusional Josh. A less delusional Josh would be good.
Let's give Brayden and Austin a chance here. They'll stir something up.
Oh, that's valid. That's valid. Oh, that's still an alliance too, right?
I think so, yeah.
Dolls.
And did they pull in Beth, the dolls? Yeah.
I feel like they're really tight with her. I don't know if they technically pulled her in, but maybe they did, and Big Brother just didn't technically show it. But they are always kind of, we see them hang out, so that's something. And that concludes your week, ladies and gentlemen, of Big Brother. So, pretty decent week so far. So far it's a pretty good week, and excited for the next week to see exactly what goes down. Hopefully the guys spice it up a little bit for us. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Anything to promote?
No, nothing. Women History Month. Just a reminder, it is a thing. Learn something about some awesome women in history.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you like to mention a woman that you feel is noteworthy of mentioning for Women's History Month?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. That's a crazy. That's like, cruel. Such a hard. I know. We don't have to. We could do it for next week.
Okay. Let me think about some intro stories to share. Really, I'm big in the arts, kind of women history of arts. Okay. So when I think about creators and women creators in history, there's some really big names that we forget about. And so Katharine Dernham is a big one. She's a Black jazz artist, very influenced by Caribbean roots, and shaped a lot of forms in the East Coast. Thinking Patsy Smith, also jazz, one of the first teachers to take on Black students in her jazz her Broadway study. So that's awesome. Two kind of big influential names in some arts movements there. And so those two this week. I'll bring a couple more next week.
Nice. Fair enough. I had one which I found was interesting. I've been watching a lot of animations this week. And the first, for those of you who don't know, the first woman animator was Retta Scott. And she did a bunch of stuff for Walt Disney. She actually started with them in, I think it was like 1940 something.
Okay.
So I should have got the year. But yeah, so I thought she was just interesting because she's noted as the first. I guess, it's kind of hard to tell after a certain time, but she's noted as the first woman animator. And she was hired by, she got her first screen credit as an animator from Walt Disney
Animation Studios.
So pretty cool. And she lived, there you go, while I was Googling.
You're so cheating. I did not Google.
I know. I'm sorry. she did the Donald Duck cartoon. She did a few of the show. She did a few of the animations there. Also an unnamed Goofy short back in 1945. So she played a pivotal role to some of the iconic figures of Walt Disney, or Disney rather. So Retta Scott, your first animator. And thank her for all your Walt Disney favorites, because she certainly added a touch to those.
Woo-hoo. Thanks for sharing. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. No, of course. And I'll definitely be sharing some more next week. Give me a week to review. And I'm not going to pick anybody from movies or that were made from movies, because you guys want to see those, you can go watch the movie. You'll certainly be able to go check up on that. But some that, you know, are our unsung heroes, so to speak, that haven't been made to a movie flick. So you can just
not yet, you
know, watch. Not yet, please.
We're at so referencing movies like Hidden Figures.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's 4 or 5 years old now. Good watch if you're interested, people.
You know, I still haven't technically watched that yet. I've always
it's
been.
It's a good watch. To. Watch it. It's, yeah. It's good. Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, so there's a bunch. There's absolutely a bunch. But yeah, we'll definitely be more on point with it next week, because just off the whim, it's kind of difficult. Yeah, so that's it. Thanks again, CC, for you know, doing this with me here. Certainly a great, interesting week.
Yes.
Are you still sticking with your favorite?
Yeah, I'm sticking with LaToya for now. I hope she chills out a little. She's a little too serious, which is also why I identify with her. It's great. But yeah, so yeah, I'm sticking with LaToya for now.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm still sticking with Victoria. Still sticking with her there. I feel like we haven't seen her serious side yet, and maybe there isn't one, but there is something there. I feel like she is holding back. Her mentioning that she's, you know, not playing the fullest on some competitions because she doesn't want to win, I think is legitimate. So she's still my fave. Super excited. Unlike Tara, she's not scared. I think it was Tara. She's not scared of the ball pen. So that's super us. And yeah. We'll certainly see you next week. Thanks again. Of course, you guys can follow me at JLB420. That's my personal. Real Talk Radio 8 on Twitter. Real Talk Radio Online on the Instagram. And of course, anchor.fm/RTR, where all the streams will be. And that is pretty much it. So thank you once again, CC. Until next time, see you guys next week. Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.